from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Adetula.
That's right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and me, I'm Reginald Adetula, hanging out with you halfway through the show, and I just wanted to remind you, it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday, so at some point during this noon hour, we will be giving away a couple of bullpen tickets, correct?
Couple front row bullpen tickets is what we're giving away for the game on Saturday. How about that?
It's your home of the Texans, Sports Radio 610. Question we're asking right now, though, what will make or what will break the Texans defense being elite this year? 713-572-4610 is a way to get involved. That's the text line. And I was, you know, thinking about it. You know, you see various top 10 lists, offense, defense, going into the season. And even if just looking at the way that this team played, even if you don't look at the top 10 lists and where they positioned the Texans, you look at the way that they played on Saturday in that dress rehearsal game against the Giants. They won 28-10 if you were not, if you lived under a rock somehow. But the thing that was notable, right? Offense was fine. Red zone was a little bit. But defensively, takeaways was happening. And we were having that feeling, that discussion. Maybe this team could be elite defensively. And so I was thinking, what are the things that will either make them or break them in that pursuit of being an elite defense?
We'll get to what potentially could break them. And I'm interested what your thoughts are on that. But I think two things could make this team like really good. Which would change everything. You know, we've mentioned it here and there. Like, we know what the offense is going to do, but if your defense is really, really good, then you're a Super Bowl contender. I mean, bingo. Because we know the standard on offense is going to be probably met, you know, barring injury. You know, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But the standard is going to be met. We know the offense is going to be good. If you have a defense that is equally as good or better, then you're a Super Bowl contender. I think two things make them that. Number one, and it's really kind of a slept on factor with the Texans, because we know the defensive front is going to be good. We saw Danielle Hunter with that sack, and see you later. You know, we'll see him in the regular season. We know Will Anderson, there have expectations for him to step up. Dude, Danico Autry, and I know he's suspended for six games, and who knows if that's going to change. But
until we get linked up with Arden Key and then get that out of here.
Yeah. That guy had, was it 10 and a half or 11 and a half? I think it was 10 and a half sacks last. He had double-digit sacks, too. If you have two guys with double-digit sacks and then more pressure, you know, and big-time sack production from guys like Danico Autry on the inside, and who knows, you're going to have guys, you know, hell, a lot of guys that came out of nowhere. Derek Barnett came out of nowhere and became a big factor defensively. Linebackers like Christian Harris and Al-Shaair, maybe, you know, with some sacks here and there. Who knows on some of the packages and the interesting things they're going to run with Jalen Petrie now that he's lined up on the scrim. If they become a team that has 50, 55, 6, I think 60 led the league in sacks last year. If they get 55, 60 sacks, Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
That's a lot of sex, man.
Well, 60 was the standard last year. I think it was the Steelers, if I'm remembering that correctly. But if they get 50, 55, that's a game changer, literally.
Yeah, and I mean, it's well within their reach is the thing that makes that really interesting. You already laid out getting sacks from the interior. Mm-hmm. When you talk about Danico Autry, that's huge. 11.5 was the number for last season for Danico Autry. But getting pressure from the interior is crazy. Like, I think typically in football, at least as we, you know, generally think about it, your ends are the ones that are getting that pressure and getting the sacks. Yeah. Interior, you know, just maybe stop the run and maybe apply a little bit of pressure in the front as best you can. Getting those sacks from the middle, that's one of the things that made Aaron Donald so incredible,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's just that he's in the middle, and not only is he capable of doing all the things that you think of when you talk about a defensive tackle, but also he can attack the quarterback. Danico Autry is similar in that way. But then on the ends, you have killers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan Greenard was good at it last year, and you upgraded that, right? Mm-hmm. And now you add Danielle Hunter, who has bona fides in doing that. Will Anderson was third in the league last year in pass rush win rate.
Yeah.
Like, you have the makings of a very, very disruptive and a defensive line, and one that quarterbacks will rue seeing. And with any good team, good defense, outside of maybe like a very few. Last year, the ones that I immediately think of off top are like the Baltimore Ravens, or that did not have like individual incredible defensive linemen when you talk about getting sacks, but just generated pressure. This team likes only rush at four, but you could rush four and still go and get those sacks. I think that's going to be huge.
I think it's going to be huge. Defense. And by the way, you mentioned the Ravens. I said Steelers. It was the Ravens that led the league last year.
And they just generated
with 60
crazy.
Sacks, followed by the Chiefs and Dolphins with 57 and 56. The Texans ranked 15th. You can't get more middle of the pack than that. Now you got Danielle Hunter, everything that you just mentioned, you know, Danielle Hunter and everything. And I think if Jalen Petrie, there's a couple of reasons they put him at nickel. Number one is it just wasn't quite working out at safety, at a true safety position. The second reason is Jalen Petrie up close to the line of scrimmage gets to the ball. So all of a sudden you got guys coming from both ends. You got guys coming from up the middle. And by the way, where do quarterbacks hate pressure the most?
Up the middle.
Up the middle. And so you got Jalen Petrie all of a sudden maybe in the mix. If they become a team that can generate 50, 55 or more sacks, that's going to be, you know, you talk about the make or break. That's going to make this defense.
And I feel bad. We talked about the D-line, and we mentioned three of the four facets. Fatukasi is going to be huge.
Fatukasi, too.
Well,
yeah.
If both of those guys, you know, team up and really are able to continue to stop the run, but then also apply that pressure up the middle, it's going to be a problem. So there's that. I think also, right, when we talk about defense, back connecting to front is always a thing that matters.
Mm-hmm.
The front has been very strong. We mentioned that last year, but also it's poised to be better. I think the back end is what's going to give them the opportunity and make or break the idea of being elite defensively. We know Derek Stingley is in that place. We just talked about it with B. Scott, the idea of he has the opportunity to maybe make a decision on whether he's going to be the guy versus kind of a guy to really boil it down to its essence.
Yeah.
And early on, I think a lot of us have the feeling, and maybe it's the hopium of the start of a season just generally, that he is going to go the direction of the guy and be that kind of defensive player. Jimmy Ward, in the way that he is patrolling the secondary, if he stays healthy, ends up being an interesting thing. You mentioned Jalen Petrie, but I think also Lassiter is a huge thing, right? When we talk about bringing him in, he has the level of physicality, right? I think ESPN wrote a piece about, and I think it might have been DJ, again, wrote a piece about just like the physicality of this defense. And Jimmy Ward is kind of a totem and an emblem of that physicality. Mm-hmm. Lassiter plays with that kind of physicality, the ways that you can get into people's jerseys and do that. But he also has great ball skills, and he has like he played at Georgia in a complicated defense, so he has like the mind for the game. And I think that if you have a secondary that's capable of, one, limiting explosive plays, and this team was not good at that last year, like they were tied for sixth most 20 plus yard plays from the opposing offense, and they allowed the most 40 plus yard plays. Mm-hmm. If you can limit those, now you give yourself an opportunity to get off the field.
Yeah.
You're limiting chunk plays for other teams. You give yourself an opportunity of being elite.
I'm with you on that. And you mentioned the physicality. And I saw this quote, speaking of DJ Bieniemy, that he got on his piece on the Texans defense. And I went, all right, let me just read the quote to you, because this is exactly what we're talking about in terms of pass rush, physicality, and what this defense can do. Quote, if you're soft, you might need to go somewhere. You might make it in the league, but you won't make it here. You'll have a job. It just won't be here. Get with it or get lost. That dude is one badass. I love Al Shaer, but he's saying, yeah, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to be very, very physical. You might have a job, but it's not going to be here. Now, you say make or break. What might be the break part? Are you talking about the secondary? Because I'm kind of with you in the middle of the field. You know, the safety position, I think, specifically, you mentioned big plays. That's exactly what I was going to mention. How many times did you see, all right, Texans defense looking pretty good. Oops. You know, somebody over the middle. The Browns game got torched by Cooper. Remember that? Over the middle and down the sidelines. So I think the safety position, now that was Petrie on the field as a deep safety.
That's the game he got benched too.
That's the game he got benched along with Ward and others. So like the make or break true break part for me is you got to get that production from the safety position, both safety positions.
Absolutely. And that's why I brought that up there is like, I think that there's clearly a path forward to them being a lot better when it comes to explosive plays, but on the chance that they are not, yeah, that's a problem. Like, because all that pressure is cool, but if you're getting pressure, then that valve is being released by just being able to beat over the top, get beat over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, then what's the point of all of it, right? Like, you kind of devalue what was, you know, a good possession or, you know, play up front in front of you. And so, yeah, no, that is going to be a huge one. And maybe it's too simple, right? Because with any conversation in football, if you just bring this up, you can be like, yeah, that tracks. But injuries matter here.
Yeah, sure.
Especially when you talk about the lack of depth. There you go. Linebacker is one of those places, right, where Christian Harris isn't playing as of right now. And we believe in him, and we believe that he's going to be ready when that time comes. But what happens if you do not have Christian, or if he gets hurt? And then, I mean, where's the wood? Hey,
heaven forbid, I'll show you. Right? I know where you're going
with
it.
You know what I mean? Like, where's the wood that I can knock on here, right? Like,
those things happen.
What are you, what does it look like then?
And depth.
Because linebacker matters greatly in this system.
Yeah, and Al Shaer especially, kind of a heartbeat pulse kind of guy. And you just heard the quote from him, which is badass. But no, I think it. And then there's another make or break. And this isn't as big. That's why I'm mentioning it second. But I think it could be a big time make this defense, you know, elite or next level. And we saw a hint of it on Saturday. Turnovers. I don't know. I've been in this business for so long. And it's just a phenomenon that is hard to figure out. Every team, see, that's the thing, like, boy, they're really good at creating turnovers. There isn't a team in the NFL that doesn't do the drills and maybe even different drills, more drills that the Texans do in terms of stripping the ball, swarming. They say swarm here, they say something else somewhere else.
And, buddy, they are swarming.
Punching
now.
The ball.
Yeah.
You know, once a guy has someone wrapped, everybody does those drills.
Sure.
Like, all 32 teams do that. Now, maybe it's just the culture that develops it. Maybe it's certain players like Al Shaer and others that can kind of, you know, lead by example and show you how it's done. And I think sometimes maybe it's just the way it goes. You become a team that creates turnovers. And how many turns they have Saturday? Five?
Five of them things.
So if they can be like one of those teams that, oh, this is a year where they're creating turnovers. I mean, again, you're talking about a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, and you give the ball back to an offense that is poised to be incredibly dangerous.
On a shorter field, more likely.
Right? And I think that's also part of this, and I know that this is kind of like roundabout, and in a way, it's outside of the parameters of what we're talking about in a way, but I think that the nature of the offense is going to give the defense a possibility to be elite.
Sure.
When you have an offense that has the possibility of putting up points in a big way, which this offense clearly absolutely does, that applies pressure to that other team and gets them in places where they can't relax and lay back on the run game or what have you, and they'll have to be a little bit more aggressive at times, which could play into the idea of getting some interceptions. Maybe someone throws a pass that's a little bit riskier because they feel they look at that clock and they look at that scoreboard and they say, hey, man, we need to go for it. I think that might give the Texans an opportunity to be
absolutely
special defensively.
And if you get some early leads and some long drives, then they have fewer possessions. That helps the defense. When the opposing team is playing from behind with fewer possessions, that makes your defense that much better as well.
I think also what has the possibility to make them elite, let's talk about the coaching. DeMeco Ryans, Matt Burke, it seems like they just have really great feel. Mm-hmm. And this is where we get into that nebulous space where I can't really give you statistics to point to it. But they just seem to have like great timely play calling and know the right moment to make the right call.
Mm-hmm.
And that matters so much as well, as just, oh, wow, they happen to have the perfect defense for the situation and putting these guys that we already believe strongly in their capabilities, if you put them in the right positions which is on the coaching staff and on the play callers to do, I think that gives you the opportunity to be great.
I'm glad you brought that up because I've said this over the course of the last year, and you're going to get tired of me saying it, and I call it the D'Amico pixie dust. Like, Blake Cashman last year was the perfect example. Here's a linebacker that was a good linebacker, nothing special, really good special teams guy. All of a sudden, he becomes a stud in D'Amico's defense. A lot of factors in that. I call it pixie dust, but it's really, you know, putting him in the best position, you know, to excel game plan wise, like you talked about, putting him in a position where he doesn't have to think as much. D'Amico has said that from day one, you know, keep it simple, let the guys attack and all that. So that's all part of the coaching. It's not like, what a brilliant defensive game plan. It is that sometimes, but sometimes it's like, go play and do this. You know, the great audio and video of the Browns playoff game. You know, Christian Harris comes to the sideline. D'Amico talks to him and says, if he does this, jump that route. Interception. I mean, it's coach. You're right. It's 100% coaching. It's that D'Amico pixie dust that they put on some of these players to excel.
And that speaks to the buy-in, which is the final thing.
Yes.
Like, these players love playing for these coaches, but they also, like, they're all in on all of the mentalities, all of the thought process. Like, you know, sometimes you can see when there's a little bit of a discord. These guys are bought in. And you can see it in just the way that they celebrate, in the way that they, the energy and the vibes around the team. This team is bought in defensively in particular. And you can see that there's probably a level of cohesion that's going to help make this team elite. And so I think that, as you could tell in the way that we're talking about this, I lean towards this team being clearly easily top 10. And honestly, I think they have a good shot at being a top 5 defense.
Figgy said so. Figgy, you said top 5 defense?
Yeah, I was drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised though. Like I would have no issue. I would be shocked if they became a top 5 defense.
Well, like you said, stay healthy and especially at the linebacker position, that's one where I didn't like it coming into the offseason, didn't like it coming into training camp. I like it the way they're playing, but we still need to have some guys that, first of all, play like Christian Harris. I think he will. Perform like Henry To'o, and then have depth. Is it going to be Jake Hansen? Is it going to be, you know, there's some questions at linebacker, but they got a lot of other parts.
And look, hopeful evaluations, because one of the big things we talked about is make or break is that secondary, and there are questions to be had about how that ultimately comes around. We're talking about Kamari Lassiter as a rookie. We're talking about Jalen Petrie, who has had up and down times. What happens depth-wise at safety as well?
And you're going to start two rookies more than likely.
Right, very quickly.
That's a big ask.
Very quickly, we start having the Justin Simmons conversation all over again if some certain things look a different way. But those things, they have the possibility, and I think that in and of itself is very exciting with these Texans. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We are in the midst of the Texans ticket Tuesday hour, so keep it locked right here for when we give away that pair of front row bullpen tickets. But as we typically do about this time, it's time to get a little bit of lunchtime confessions here in the loop.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reginald and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, let's hit it, Figgy.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, so I don't know what quite to make of this, but I kind of made a woman feel uncomfortable in the elevator today.
Wait, what?
Oh, no. All right. Is B. Scott around? Can we start drafting up the apology letter? Oh, my God.
It's true. So how many times, I know it's happening to you here, but Figgy, let me ask you, how many times has this happened to you? So I got on the elevator. I hit the 19th floor. Woman got on the elevator. She saw that I was on the 19th floor. She was coming up here as well.
Excellent.
So we're both standing in the elevator.
Oh, she works here?
Hold on.
Oh, man.
And I kind of started to give
her... even the apology letter.
Go ahead and take the HR. HR time. Yeah.
So I kind of started looking side-eye like I didn't know who it was. And I'm like, do I know this? Is this someone, a listener picking up a prize? Or is it... And so I was kind of like going side-eye on her. And then I realized she noticed me looking at her. And I immediately like tried to, try to repair the situation.
Checking her out.
Yeah, try to repair the situation a little bit. I was like, oh, do you work at Odyssey? Because I had never seen this woman before. And she said, yeah, I've been here about 5 months. I don't know enough people in this building, and I've been here for 15 years. Like, I don't know, man. It's awkward. Like,
and now you're going to have to go into boss lady's office.
Now I got to apologize to a woman that works here that I was giving the side eye to in the elevator.
It's probably somebody very important that's going to determine your future.
What if she's a boss?
Yeah.
But I was seriously going like this. I'm like, should I say hello or how you doing? Because sometimes I feel awkward that I'm not saying, oh, how's it going with blah, 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 because I should know her, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you got to cover it up a little bit, like, oh, you following me, huh?
How are you?
Or I'm following you.
Keep it real generic.
I did that a couple times, and somebody like, oh, yeah, I'm picking up some tickets.
Oh, I'm like, oh, okay, that answers that. Yeah, I didn't know if it was pissed someone. So she's been here 5 months.
All right, text line, you're not helping the situation.
What did they say?
337 said, Lopez, was she hot? That's not the point right now.
Not the point.
Or was she?
We're trying to get Lopez, trying to keep him from being fired.
Off the hook,
I'm curious who it was.
This is even worse. I just forgot her name. I asked her name too.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I forgot her name.
All right. So,
Deborah? No, I don't know. Something with a D, I think.
All right.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So, I didn't realize just how much I depend on like multiple screens being in front of my face at all times.
I counted 35 plus.
Okay, so that's tabs.
Yeah, tabs.
But
tabs,
yes, you're right. Yeah. And you're getting a feel for who I am as a person because I actively, as I'm speaking, have the desktop computer in front of me with multiple tabs. I have my laptop in front of me, and I have my tablet, which is not in active use right now, and my phone, I guess, if I think
good
about it.
Lord.
And this is how I exist typically, especially if a game is on, like last night with the Astros game. If my situation, because I just moved, like if I was all set and everything, I'd have a TV on or multiple TVs on with the Astros game, and then I'd have my laptop on, and I work on that, my phone, something like that. But because right now my internet isn't set up, the only thing I can use is my phone right now.
Right.
So I was watching the game. I was watching the Astros game, and I was like, man, I can't, like, this is it. Like, I'm tapped out. I can't go on Twitter. I can't text nobody. I can't, like, look anything up. I'm just watching the Astros game right now.
Yeah.
And it was freeing, but also I realized that I had, like, that kind of a user addiction, you know, itch to be like, oh man, I want to check and see if somebody's tweeting something right now.
Yeah, I got to hit something else. And I got to tap on something else.
I'm a sick human being when it comes to these devices. Mm-hmm. I'm no better than these children that we make fun of for like, oh, you're 2 years old on a tablet all the time. I'm that person at this point. So
yeah,
I didn't realize that.
That's a lot of tabs. You do have a problem.
I do.
Yeah. Watch this.
So I was just in here in the break talking to Reginald, and I forgot how we even got on this conversation, but I was
I was in there because I had to stand up.
And so I didn't tell nobody this. So on Saturday when I was at the game, for some reason, every first game, it seemed like you walk around way more than you should because
you're still trying to
figure out where to go. And it's like, it's my first time at NRG, and I'm just like walking around like, oh, you got to go that way for this. Oh, you got to go this way for that. And I did a lot of walk. I probably could have ran a 5K, to be honest, how much walking I did.
Yeah.
But Sunday morning, man, I realized how washed up I am physically. Man, my right knee was hurting so bad, I couldn't even stand on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I never had problems with my knees at all.
Yeah.
And my knee was hurting so bad, I had to ice it throughout the whole day. So I iced my right knee 3 times.
From walking at NRG.
I guess so.
Welcome to the club, Figgy.
Dude, I was.
You got a guy?
We got a knee guy? I got a knee guy. Man, welcome to the club.
Man, I might have to get a sleeve because it was hurting so bad. I rolled around in the bed like, my knee.
So it was bad.
It was real bad. I had to put some ice on it 3 times on Sunday.
Yeah.
So I realized, man, I'm fit. Yeah. Not only am I mentally washed because I usually be in the bed by 9:30.
Yeah.
And if somebody called me at 10,
now
I'm
you're
like,
just making me cry.
Yeah.
So my phone's on do not disturb.
Yes. By 9:15.
Now you're going to bring a tear to my eye. He gets sore on menial tasks and he goes to sleep at 9:30.
I'm like, this is only the first preseason game, man. I got a long season to go, and I'm physically washed now.
Tell you how proud I am of you,
dog. I'm too young for this, man. Watch this. These
are my confessions. So you're gonna get to know Reginald real well over these next few months and years, of course. But you know, we can pick up some little things here and there. So off air, you know, I knew you graduated from UT Arlington.
That's correct.
And I knew you started, but you need to remind me. I had forgotten about this. You started at K-State.
Yes, I started at Kansas State University.
And he said, whether it was a dream or an ambition or whatever, you said, I was thinking about being an architect.
Yeah, man, wanted to be an architect since the seventh grade.
And I didn't pull the trigger on this because I was like, when he said that, I immediately was going to drop a Seinfeld reference. And then I'm like, no. That show hasn't been on the air for damn near 25, 30 years now. So I don't want to be like old guy, say, hey, so you might remember Seinfeld? But the good news is, Figgy,
you've only been doing it for about 8 years here.
He is one of us, too.
If I see her, what do I say that I'm doing here in the building?
Oh, you came to see me. I work in the building.
What do you do?
I'm an architect. I'm an architect.
Have you designed any buildings in New York?
Have you seen the new addition to the Guggenheim?
You did that?
Yep. It didn't take very long either. What about architects, Steve? He's into architecture.
Really didn't take it that long.
Shout out to Art Vandelay. Vandelay Enterprises.
Yeah, Vandelay Industries.
Yeah, I'm an industry. Thank you. Yes, I'm a big
Have you ever pretended to be an architect?
No, I haven't. I have a lot of respect for the folks, and I know quite a few of them, obviously, seeing as I went to school for a little bit, so I know the people that actually saw it through. So I know enough to know that I can't pass. Like, I'm not delusional enough to think I could pass for an architect.
I'm just glad you actually watched a lot of Seinfeld.
Yep.
Yeah. Somebody from the 281 broke up with a text line, a Seinfeld reference to your other confession about being in the elevator. You said her name might have started with a D.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You said Dolores.
Oh, that's right. That's a Seinfeld reference.
Good segment.
Mulva. Remember that?
I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
They will, it's they all will good. Know. There's they will know.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
Watch this. So I realized I already have a love-hate relationship with Space City Home Network. And mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not entirely new to Space City Home Network.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that's nice is that it's still in the market in when you're in Dallas as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, I've been watching Astros games still just to keep up because, look, in division, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that when I'm actively only watching Space City Home Network mm-hmm. and not looking at a whole bunch of tabs, I realize is, hey, man, why don't we have the pitch identifier on the graphics package?
You're talking about like where it goes in the strike zone?
Not where it goes in the strike zone. What pitch are we looking at, right?
Like, oh, gotcha.
A splitter.
Okay.
Are we looking at a curveball? Yeah. Are we looking at a sweeper? Like all these things.
Because
I've gotten used to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I definitely am like, I have to work for it. But I do love it in some ways because it's making me work for it. It's making me,
it
like,
does.
Pay attention and identify the pitch. And then also, I'll mm-hmm. pull up, like, Baseball Savant, which mm-hmm. is a web
they have them
that
all.
I love.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting, like, speeds and I'm getting, mm-hmm. like, various different placements and they're identifying it. So, I do love that. But, hey, man, help me be lazy, Space City Home Network.
Yes.
Just show me that it's a splitter on the screen. Please.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
begging you.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this.
So if y'all don't know, I do a lot of social media influencer work, which means I go to different restaurants sometimes and mm-hmm. try their food, get content and all that stuff. And every Wednesday I go to Atomic Wings and I get content eating their wings and different stuff like that. One thing I gotta confess, man, and this could tie into me getting old and washed, but I don't understand how these foodies, these food influencers don't get fat, man.
Dude, it's amazing.
They be slim and skinny,
yes.
and they just be showing all of this food and eating food. And I know some of them don't eat all of the food, but damn it, I don't eat all of the food either, and I just be stuffed.
Yes.
I'm like, how do y'all do that, man? Some of them be going to multiple restaurants throughout the day. And I'm like, man, I'm over here stuffed. All I ate was like 8 wings, and I'm done for it. I just don't see how these foodies
it's amazing.
Just go around eating food for a living like that.
Can you eat like a ton and not gain weight?
I historically have had a pretty high metabolism.
Yeah.
So. But one thing I've realized is I'm becoming somewhat washed in that regard. And again, I know if you're a little bit older, you're like, what does this 32-year-old know about being washed?
Yeah.
But I always think about like on Thanksgiving, I used to put up plates. Like
that, oh, I did too.
That was me, like, I was trying to.
I did too.
Let's not. And I realized over the last 3-4 years, like, just my appetite has been reined in. Like, I can't even, like, get myself to that place. You know, sometimes you're like, I'm going to run idle, but sometimes I can rev it up. No, I can't even rev it up no
I
more.
I get that. And because it's metabolism. But there are some like 45, 50-year-olds that like, because I do the barbecue podcast, Bite Meat. I got a woman coming on next week that is a fitness instructor.
Dolores?
Fitness model. I know this one's name. Sunny Moody. And she's like a barbecue world champion. She eats barbecue every day. And she's like, I'm like,
man,
how do you do that?
If I eat barbecue today, I am done. I am bloated.
Yes.
I probably get about 10 pounds.
Yes.
Man, and some people just can eat all day long and won't gain anything, man.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of y'all.
Yeah.
I don't see how y'all do it for a living.
There you go. In the Loop, Lunchtime Confessions brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Tuesday. In the Loop, coming up next, is the new kickoff in the NFL working for you?
Mm-hmm.
NFL gave some data. Plus, Mark Berman's getting his due in a very special
How about
way.
That?
We'll discuss that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
That's right. We in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, your man Reginald Atitula, here with you as are you enjoying the new kickoff in the NFL? 713-572-4610 is the number to text, because the NFL yesterday
mm-hmm.
Gave the media various numbers, and it kind of felt to me, actually seeing the numbers, that they were kind of doing the thing where they go, hey, look, it's great.
Yeah.
Look at these numbers. That means it's great. And I mean, I'll get to the numbers here as well, but I'm interested in just kind of like the vibes and the feel from folks, because the idea was to get more returns, and the idea was hopefully to make safer one of the most explosive plays in football that, to be fair, had become significantly less explosive in the hope to make it safer.
Look, you look at the numbers and they're convincing. The numbers are convincing, right? You know, and you have them. You know, the kickoff average return is longer. I mean, if you want to go through them.
So here we go, right? The kickoff return rate. So the number of kickoffs that are actually being returned.
Yeah.
Through the first 2 weeks of the preseason, that number is 78%. Last season, the regular season, that number was 21.8. Obviously, with all of the
touchbacks. And, yeah.
But even if you looked at the preseason in from 2020 to 2023, mm-hmm. that number was 54.7%. So you look at preseason from that time to now, you're up, 24 points, 23 points mm-hmm. on the percentage of times that this is just being returned?
Yeah.
And then you talk about the average kickoff return, and you are getting more distance out of it. Barely, though. 25 yards is the average distance now. 23 yards was the average kickoff return last season during the regular season. So that's not been big, and I think that is going to be one of the essences of like what makes people interested in the return is, are you seeing big returns as well? But to that regard, returns of 30-plus yards, like those big chunk plays that mm-hmm. get the blood going and make the building kind of get loud, 39 have happened this preseason. And remember, that's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's do the basic math, 19 and a half per week, right? Mm-hmm. There was 97 returns of 30-plus all of last season. So that's just shy of 6 a week.
Yeah.
We talk about big returns. And, of course, that counts like touchbacks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's like per return or whatever,
right,
what that number looks like. But you're seeing more people return, and thus you're just getting more opportunities at big returns. And average starting position is like 3 yards further down mm-hmm. the field. So you're getting that incremental difference, and you're getting an opportunity at some more plays. But again, those are the numbers, right? And I can make the numbers kind of dance a little bit in ways that I want. But I think ultimately the safety numbers, which we're not going to have until the end of the year, is the biggest thing. But the second biggest thing is like entertainment value, and that's not something you can quantify, which is why I wanted to turn it to, I guess, the listeners and the people that are ultimately watching it. Like, have you felt that effect?
Well, and speaking for me, no. And I'm a big advocate of the new kickoffs, and I'm also a big believer that it's going to be an exciting play in football this year. But as much as the numbers say, hey, you might be onto something there, that's not what we're seeing. Like, if you trust your eyes, we're kind of seeing like, you know, kind of not a whole lot of really exciting plays here. So I think part of that is they're learning on the fly. I mean, obviously we've talked to Frank Ross, and it's very clear he doesn't like it, but he's adapting. And he's going to try to make the most of it. And the other part of it is just like in everything else, if you think you have something really sort of special when it comes to kickoff returns or kickoff coverage, you're not going to show it in the preseason.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. There are some very complex blocking schemes, and I'm not Mr. UFL or XFL, but I've seen enough and seen it and dug in enough on replays and stuff. There's some cool stuff that happens on these kickoffs. So even though the numbers are saying, you know, it's better, it doesn't look better, but I think it will.
What's funny for me is that it has looked pretty good with Steven Sims, though. Like, mm-hmm. he seems to be, you know, finding that effect, which I do wonder if that...
Yeah.
You know, goes a long way in securing his place on the 53-man roster because he's looking like he's good.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the XFL origins of this new style of kickoff, or the dynamic kickoff, as they're calling it. And the originator or the creator of it kind of talked about how it effectively works kind of like a run play. It kind of has that feel, which is what made me start thinking, I wonder if this is going to be something that then leads to more running backs, maybe
third, I think absolutely.
Second, third running backs being the guys back to return. And I when it comes to the actual play, it hasn't in very many aspects felt to me kind of like a running play in reading and reacting. It's felt just like another kickoff that's slightly different.
No, I agree, and frankly that's the life preserver for Damian Pierce, because he has been running some first team but mostly second team on kickoff returns, so that might be his only hope.
Yeah, but just, the problem with him is that
there's other things. Yeah.
His issue as a running back was reading and reacting, identifying holes.
Well, yes.
What is the kickoff if not reading, reacting, identifying holes?
Exactly. So I do think it's going to be an exciting play, and even if it doesn't get appreciably better than from what we've seen so far, my thing is, at least it's a play. Like, you're going to watch every kickoff knowing there's potential for a something to happen here. Whereas when you watch kickoffs in the past, you're like, I need a beer. You know, I got to go to the bathroom.
The egregious ones where it'd be like, TV break, kickoff.
And you're just
TV
sitting there.
TV break, and you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
We came back for a touchback?
Yeah, and then they go to another break sometimes.
Yeah.
But at least now you're like, okay, maybe. It doesn't happen. Hasn't happened a lot. But I think at least you're kind of engaged.
And it seems like that might kind of be where it is from the 832 on the text line. They said, it's football. I'm just glad football is back. Which, that doesn't sound radical in some ways, but I do think it is a little radical because when you change a lot of sports, and baseball ends up getting like the baddest, like the worst rap when it comes to this. When you change the sport, it's like, oh, well, this isn't the game that we've gotten used to. Like, this is now some, like,
what have they done to our
game?
They've
bastardized it in some way. Yeah. And so the idea that we're like, yeah, it's fine. It's football, right? I think that says something about the feel, at least enough, is that it feels like football.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, football, we'll watch that. This is a good point, though, from another 832. They asked, what about onside kicks? And I believe, if I am correct, that you have to like identify or let it be known that you are going to
onside
kick.
And only in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you do take that element kind of off the board, but I think it feels like it has been, or it will be worth it when it comes to like just getting returns. But that is something that we are losing. So yeah, when it comes to like the dynamic kickoff, I think we're still in a place where I was hoping that as you get further to this and the NFL giving us some numbers that maybe we would have some level of consensus or conclusion. I still feel like we're still up in the air.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And don't forget, within about 5 minutes or so, we're going to give you some tickets. Texans Ooh. Ticket Tuesday. Right here, this segment.
Wait, do you want to do it now?
Let's do it now.
Yeah, let's do it
let's
now.
Let's do it now.
713-572-4610.
Front row of the bullpen.
What caller number?
How about caller number?
We were talking about Jalen Petrie. Call number 5.
All right.
Okay.
Make it quick.
Mm-hmm. Caller number 5. Front row bullpen tickets for Saturday's game. How about that?
While y'all handle up on that, let's talk about the Houston legend, Mark Berman.
Yep.
Obviously a media, media darling around these parts.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten a lot of love in a lot of ways, but there was still one way that remained to be seen. And John, you've got the story.
I thought this was cool because I think everybody has some sort of similar story, maybe not to the degree as this, but Mark Berman last night, retired last year, a little over a year ago now, and has been, he's been getting some love around the city, at the mayor's office or council, whatever. So last night, Mark Berman got a Hempstead High School letter jacket. 50 years after he graduated high school, he got his letter jacket. And you may be asking,
he did go to Hempstead High School, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was did he just get a high school jacket?
No, just a random high school. Says, hey, we're going to give you a letter jacket.
I mean, hey, it's possible.
So listen to the story and see if it resonates at all with anything that you've experienced or someone experienced. I think this is awesome. So he went to Hempstead High School, grew up there, and kept score as a freshman for the basketball team when they went to state. They went to state his freshman year. And they gave him a letter jacket, but it had the letters MGR. He was the manager, basically, because he kept score.
Yeah.
And he hated that.
Sure.
He wanted a varsity letter jacket his entire career. So he tried out for the basketball team all 4 years of high school, never made the squad. He tried out for the golf team. Actually was okay in golf.
Okay.
Three people make varsity.
Excellent.
He finished fourth.
Yikes. Okay.
Then, I guess he was okay in tennis. So he played doubles tennis and went to the qualifier for getting a varsity letter jacket in tennis was you have to make your district finals. Got to the district semifinals.
Okay.
Within a breath of getting that letter jacket finally. Went up 6-1 in the first set.
Okay.
Three set game match. Was up 5-0 in the second set.
So he was ready to win it in straights.
Layup.
Win it in straights, baby. Let's go. Let's get this letter.
Lost 6 straight games and then lost the next set.
Yikes. Wait, so like he had to have like broken at least twice in that second set.
Yes.
And then still, no.
I won the first set, 6-1.
Mark Berman, a legend in the game. It's feeling like he might be a little bit of a choker, man.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Oh my gosh. So he never got, he was like, he never, they ate at him and ate at him.
I'm sure.
So Hempstead High School gave him an honorary letter jacket.
There you go.
Had his class year on the sleeve and all that. And I just started thinking, like, we all have those, like, dang it, man, from high school. But think about, the other thing I was thinking about, maybe, it all worked out for him.
Sure.
Everything worked out
Although
for him.
Although I will say, in this one way it didn't. You like your window of opportunity to get some use, like real use out of a Letterman.
Yes, it's small.
Is very small. We are dogging you if you step on the college campus with your Letterman jacket. Like, who are you? This is not high school.
Oh, that's a freshman.
50 years later, I don't know that you can wear a Letterman jacket around, can you?
Yeah, you all know the freshmen on campus because they still wearing their high school letter jacket. Right. You got about 2 years.
Marcus moving around town. He's at HEB in the Letterman.
He needs to wear it. He needs to wear it out and about. What? Brand new, fancy Hempstead Letterman jacket. And I was just, he's told that story to me, but I actually talked to him about it this morning because I said, I got to get all the details right. Dude, that is heartbreaking. But he got it.
Congratulations,
50
Mark
years
Barnett.
Later.
Like legend in the media sphere, but also high school letter winner. Yeah. Never forget it.
Don't you forget it.
There you go. A little bit about the dynamic kickoff and a big shout out to Mark Berman getting his high school letter. I think the only thing that I had close was sophomore year for me in basketball. I got injured at the end of football season because, you know, I was JV. And the JV team, because our varsity team made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So the JV team, our season is over, but we got to hang around as scout team, as dummies. During last practice before what ended up being, you know, the varsity team's last game of the season.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I hurt my back is what happened. Hurt my back. And so now it's time to transition to basketball.
Yeah.
And my back is hurting, but I'm still going to these tryouts. I'm going to make sure I make the basketball team.
Yeah.
And now I don't know if they were just, the coaches were being nice or whatever in retrospect. However, ultimately tryouts all happen, that goes through, and they come around and are like, well, young man, we got 25 spots. You were man number 26 and we'll keep you around. You know, we'll keep you.
Oh, wow.
Look, if grades happen and we lose some some eligibility due to grades, you're in. And I'm like, dog, you got 25 guys.
Yeah.
Five dudes play. You're not going to call me about eligibility.
I will never be called.
But yes, so I feel Mark in that way of just like, hey, you just missed the cut.
I remember very vividly when I got my Letterman jacket because you talk about, you know, the window of opportunity.
Yeah.
So I had a chance to letter as a sophomore, which that was going to give me a big window.
Yeah, you were going to be the man in the streets.
Yeah, so yeah, that was going to be. So I got called up to varsity like the second game of the year, my sophomore year. But back then you needed to play 10 quarters. 10 quarters of football in order to get a letter jacket. And so I was obviously a backup as a sophomore called up to varsity. And I remember I had played like 8 quarters going into the last game of the year.
You were like, I just need a half of football.
Dude, I was so bad. I was so irritating to my position coach. I was like, dude, I need to play half the game. I need to play half the game. And he was a really cool coach. And so I could call him dude. and I'll be damned if they started me in the last game. And so I got all 4 quarters, got my letter jacket. Man, that summer after my sophomore year, I was insufferable.
As you should be.
I was insufferable.
I earned this letter. I begged my way into this letter. You better understand. You better recognize. There you go. Appreciate you hanging out with. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, final hour of the program. We get it going, talking about, inspired by the Astros being downright killers. What team always ripped your heart out of your chest? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,